Well, this morning, I've got a couple things. I left my little note down here, but a couple things I was thinking about in this last sermon. One is, if you refer to the back side of your note page, you have this funny-looking set of notes about the Bible passage. And as I was preparing my sermon, I was putting it together, and I was like, I need to explain why I'm doing it the way I'm doing it. I've got this little printout. It's kind of the verse. One of the ways that many authors in the Bible, many of the writers, structure the way that they make their statements, make their paragraphs, is in what we call a chiastic structure. They talk about something, and then they still kind of talk about the same subject, but they talk about it in a different way. And then they talk about it again in a different way. And then they go back to the second way and then back to the first way. And so it kind of creates this V shape. I guess I should do it backwards for you guys this way. And it's called a chiastic structure. And so the statements are parallel, but they're separated by some other things. And I've tried to help you with some of the colored arrows there to point out how the repetition helps us see where the chiastic structure lies. At the very center of this chiastic structure is the discussion of maturity, child and adult. And then that's on either side of the child-adult is the discussion about seeing or disappearing, perfection. And then on either side of that, at the beginning and the end, is the part about knowing. Paul is in this section that we're going to be looking at today, returning to the same topic that he discussed at the beginning of this sermon series. And he's going to be talking about spiritual gifts. His point here in the end is to talk about why love is unending, but why spiritual gifts cease. We had a great example of spiritual gifts in practice last night. A great many people lending their talents and abilities, things that we don't always call on people to do, but so many of you are talented in service, in organization, in just giving of your time, the generosity. Those spiritual gifts are wonderful things, but it was the love that mattered most of all. The love and patience and kindness and seeing the need and being able to step in. Paul here in this section that we'll be looking at discusses three reasons why love is greater than our spiritual gifts. Three reasons love is greater than our spiritual gifts. The passage here again is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'll be reading verses 8 through 12. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. One reason why spiritual gifts will pass away and love will endure is because of the very measure of what it means to be spiritually mature. Paul uses the idea in the very center of this section about being grown up versus being a child. Last week, we were talking about the student Baptist Students Union, the Found at Purdue. And Joey must have been listening very carefully because I think it was Monday of the week, Joey was all alone in the truck, and we were driving to drop him off at preschool, and he said, "Daddy, I don't want to go to college." I said, "Why?" He goes, "I have to move away." I want to stay with you always. Joey, in his little understanding of things, put it all together that college was maybe a time when he didn't live at home. And for a little guy who's four, that sounds pretty scary. A kid's logic about what life as a grown-up looks like is not always good. They might not understand that at some point they will have to live on their own. Children don't understand that they're being prepared to be on their own as adults. Sometimes even parents don't have that view. Sometimes parents don't even see the point of saying, I have to get you ready, kid, to be grown up. But grandparents have that view. Because many grandparents no longer have their own parents. Part of spiritual maturity is growing up in the ways that are important to our lives. Spiritual gifts are a stage in our spiritual development. You know how little kids, whenever they're learning to walk, have stages that they go through? There is the stage where the kid lays down and doesn't move. And then there's the stage where the kid rolls over. And then there's the stage where the kid can set up. And then there's the stage where the kid can move, whether that's crawling or scooting. And then there's a stage where they stand up. And then there's the stage when they walk. And kids will almost always have exactly that order of things as they grow and mature. Paul is talking about our spiritual lives and its spiritual growth. I'm going to go back to the microphone up here and see if it'll catch a little better. There was a stage in your spiritual life where you didn't have spiritual gifts. Before you were a believer, the Holy Spirit wasn't part of your life and you didn't have those gifts in your life. When you became a believer, you received the Holy Spirit, you received spiritual gifts into your life. It's part of how you relate to God. But Paul is saying that there is going to come a point in your spiritual life where the spiritual gifts fade away. But those spiritual gifts disappear. These gifts are a part and an important stage in our development. And Paul says that that stage of spiritual gifts is supposed to motivate us to love, because each one of those spiritual gifts is incomplete without it. Spiritual gifts, no matter what yours is to be motivated by love. Each gift, each one, teaches us a way to love someone else. It's very easy to see how love works whenever your gift is mercy. Showing mercy and kindness to someone else exemplifies that idea that we think of as love. Giving to those in need, helping those who need our assistance, serving others, even miracles. Those gifts all are kind of easy to connect to the idea of love. But some of the other spiritual gifts are a little harder. There's a spiritual gift of administration, which means organizing things so that they're efficient. Love needs to be efficient in some ways. Whenever you're being generous and you're giving away lots of money, if you're efficient, if it's administered well, you can do more good with the money that you're giving. Leadership is a spiritual gift. Its purpose is to multiply love. A leader stands up in front of other people and says, we need to do a fundraiser and we're going to do a fish and chicken dinner. And then the leader multiplies the effect of love by getting a whole congregation to jump in together and make it happen. Leadership is motivated by love. A couple of the spiritual gifts that are harder even to figure out how love is displayed. One of those is knowledge. Paul even makes the point that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The point is not that knowledge is unimportant, but that knowledge needs to build up believers. Knowledge on its own makes a person proud and arrogant. But imagine if we knew nothing of God. What if we didn't know things about other people's needs? Knowledge makes us effective in our love. Teaching is a spiritual gift. But imagine if everyone was just ignorant of God's word and what he wanted. Teaching, knowledge, leadership, administration, all of these may not feel like they are connected with love, but without them, our love fails. Our love is not going to be as effective or successful. Love is both the motive and the goal of every single spiritual gift. Paul's point in talking about maturity and childhood is the point of this, that if we focus on our spiritual gift, if we make our spiritual gift the most important thing about what it is that we love and how we love God, we are, in fact, not yet mature. To be grown up in a spiritual Christian sense is to love. The second thing that Paul talks about in his chiastic structure as you move out now to the middle points, labeled B if you're using your back of your outline, is knowing God. The difference between perfection or full knowledge of God and imperfection, not really seeing him clearly. Paul uses the example of a mirror. He says that a mirror has a poor reflection. But someday we will see God face to face. Paul is saying that right now, the way that we often view God and experience who God is like a mirror. Ancient mirrors were not like the ones you use today. Ancient mirrors were made out of metal or sometimes really high polished stone. And they would pound the mirror until they got it pretty flat. Our mirrors today are glass lined with some really high reflective stuff. And as a result, you can see the image very clearly. But imagine if instead of seeing that sort of silver perfect reflection, it was brass. That was a common metal used to make mirrors. What if everything that you looked at in the mirror had a brassy color to it? Ladies, how would your makeup go on? Their mirrors were good in their day, but they weren't perfect. And in fact, having a mirror even this size was just royalty that could afford it. Most of the mirrors were tiny. Just little circles. So an everyday comparison would be your silverware. If you polished your shiny knife really well and you could see your reflection in it, how much of your face could you see at a time? Not very much. And it wouldn't be perfectly shaped. It would be a little wobbly, right? Paul is saying that when we use our spiritual gifts, when we are oriented towards our spiritual gifts, And if we were to use those as a way of viewing God, a reflection of him, we would only see a small part. We would only see a small piece of who God is. It would be a little wonky. Wouldn't maybe be all, you know, the shapes, but it would be a little different. My favorite trick is to use a spoon. I haven't shown my kids this yet. But if you look in the spoon, if you hold it at different angles, you're actually upside down at some points. It's kind of like a funhouse mirror. What Paul's point is here is that all of us are oriented by our spiritual gifts in our relationship with God. And as a result, our spiritual gifts are pieces. They are slightly distorted ways of seeing God. If you go through a funhouse mirror, it doesn't give you the exact representation, and that's what's sort of fun about a funhouse mirror. Each of our gifts is kind of that way. The gift of knowledge reveals a small but distorted picture of God. The spiritual gift of prophecy reveals a small but distorted picture of God. The gift of mercy reveals a small, distorted picture of God. All of the gifts do. Each and every one gives a piece, a distorted, not quite true picture of God. But Paul's point is that love is the whole picture. Love is the perfect picture. A clear, true, accurate one. So that God is seen face to face. And we look forward to that time. Pretty much all of the church staff came together to make this illustration take place. And I hope it works. We're going to try it. I asked Rhonda for a prism. And I asked Skip for a flashlight. And here, if you can use your imagination, I'm not sure it's going to shine very well up on the walls here. We'll see if we can get this prism to show all of the different colors, or at least some, or a few. I don't know if it's going to be enough. Not quite, is it? You know the idea of the prism? You have white light that looks white, sunlight even, shines through the prism and outshines all these colors. God is love, but in each one of us, the Holy Spirit lives and exists. And the Holy Spirit shines in a little different way in each one of us. So each of us have an orientation toward who God is. And as a result, we shine in a little bit of different color. Each of our gifts shines a little differently. When you take all of the gifts together, you get white light. But we individually don't experience that yet. We shine in each of our colors. Each of our gifts shows in a slightly different way. God's love and who he is refracted through his church. It is refracted into each and every color. As a result, our lives shine, but they are a piece of the whole. Paul's point is that now we see in part. Now we see God only in shades of color. But when we see him face to face, we will see God in all his perfect light, revealed perfectly in love. Lastly and finally, Paul talks about relationship. That a relationship with God can be full or it can be incomplete. He says we know in part and we prophesy in part. But he also means that we serve and we give and we help in parts. But then he says, when the perfect comes, the imperfect disappears. We live in a time right now of the refracted love of God. The spiritual gifts shine, each one in each one of its colors, so that there is a rainbow effect of God's love. But each one on its own is limited. And we, in fact, are limited in our knowledge of God and our understanding and relationship with him. We can say God is this and he's not like that, that love is this and it's not like that. But we know in part and we see in part, and therefore we also relate to God in part. But Paul says there is a time where all of this will shift. When this time of the refracted love of God is over, he says we will know fully and we will see clearly and we will love perfectly, because when the perfect comes, the imperfect disappears. God already knows us fully. God already presently loves us perfectly. And today he sees us clearly. To some, that might be a point of worry, that they're exposed and God can see everything about their lives. But I assure you, it is no scary thing. For God says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even on your worst day, God still loved you so much that he would wash away your sin. God already fully knows and loves and sees you today. And because of that, you can come to Jesus Christ for salvation, because the cross was meant for sinners. There will come a time when we will see God perfectly and clearly. We will stand before him face to face. But the way to knowing him and being in that relationship comes through believing in his Son, his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. This morning can be a moment of knowing that you stand before God and that he sees you without anything in the way, nothing hidden from his sight. And because of that, you can accept salvation just as he intended, because of his grace and love alone. Let's pray, and then we'll sing. Lord Almighty, we are so glad that you are an infinite God, that you love us perfectly, you see us clearly, and even on our worst day, you still died for our sin. Lord, we stand before you, a God who sees everything, even what goes on inside our hearts and minds. And you love us and died to wash away our sin anyway. Lord, we are humbled by your grace and mercy. And we pray, Lord, that we will shine with love that you pour into our hearts. Lord, as we sing, as we praise you, we pray that we are listening with our ears and with our souls. Amen.